Cycle. Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. No sour, happy, fun time, haha, power hour. Welcome to the no sour fun time haha power hour.
Oh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour on this Tuesday, sunny afternoon, April 11th. We are so excited to have the last hour with a lot of talk about entertainment and ticketing. In fact, in the bottom of the hour, would you like to go back to buying your tickets in person if it meant you didn't have to pay any more Ticketmaster fees? Some people, like Maggie Rogers, are starting to do just that. So we will talk about that then. But right now, we are so happy to welcome our guest, Christopher Pollard, who is the membership manager over at Milwaukee Film Festival, because Milwaukee Film Festival kicks off April 20th. It's back. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So this is exciting. It's back. It's a ton of movies. This has to be the largest film festival in Wisconsin.
I believe so, yeah. I mean, I know a few years back we did a study to see where we ranked in the country even, and we were top 10 in a lot of categories that even we were surprised by. The length of it, for sure, the number of films we have, and our attendance, and this is pre-pandemic, but our attendance was really getting up there. I think we had 84,000 or 87,000 the last time. But, you know, before the pandemic.
Yeah, of course.
Wow, that's really impressive, Christopher. I can remember when it first started and thinking, what a cute idea. Aren't these people cute? This is Milwaukee. This is never going to fly. And to see what it has turned into is remarkable.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's very nice to see. I mean, not only has the festival really bloomed in the, you know, over the 15 festivals that we've had, but the Milwaukee film industry has really, like, you being here in my position, you know, in the festival, you can really see the advancement of it as the years go on. There was one year we had one Milwaukee show, which is where we show local film shorts, and we were, you know, putting that together, and then there was a year which we're like, well, we have so much good work. We have to do two now. And then now we do two. Then we did two and music videos. So we separated that out. And then features started becoming bigger and better. So it's really nice to see not just, I mean, we're happy to be blossoming, but to see the film industry here blossom.
And do you attribute the film industry in Milwaukee blossoming? And I know UWM has a really good film program, but like, what is it about? Because unfortunately, we still don't have tax credits to draw Hollywood Wisconsin. Not yet. I know people are advocating for that. But what do you think it is as far as the culture in general starting to grow here?
You know, it's a good question. I think there's a lot. I mean, I know from our position, that was one of, you know, I've been here 11 years, but that's not, you know, that was a few years after it started. But I, you know, when they started, one of the goals was to help not only showcase local talent, but keep it here and find ways to financially support them and connect them with people, you know, in the industry that can help. Really just bring everyone together so we can flourish. And I feel like there's been a lot of opportunities. We've grown a lot of those. We've found others. But also there's just talented people here. This is one of the reasons I'm originally from Missouri.
Oh.
And when I moved here over 20 years ago, one of the things that drew me to the city was the fact there's so many talented, in all, you know, filmmakers, artists, musicians. There's a lot of talent in this city. And it always struck me as sad that sometimes people outside of the city didn't know that. So it's really nice to see some of these folks not only, like I said, blossoming, but they're getting attention. They've gone to, you know, we've had filmmakers from Milwaukee go to Sundance, go to South by Southwest, and other really prestigious festivals and do really well. So I mean, it's, I give all the credit to the artists, obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We're talking to Christopher Pollard, who is the membership manager at Milwaukee Film Festival, because it kicks off on April 20th. So let's get a little bit more of the details of what is in store for this year's festival. So it starts April 20th, goes to May 4th. Absolutely. What else should people know?
We've got a lot of great films coming up. The opening night film is a great kickoff. It's always, you always have to have a really good kickoff to a film festival. The opening night film is a perfect one. It is called Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory.
Nice.
that's all I really need to say, except other than the fact that it's actually, despite an addition to the title, it's a very sweet, heartwarming story, and it is an Eau Claire filmmaker, and he made this film about his family, who his mom sadly had to go through, as she was a survivor of cancer, and okay. She had to get a mastectomy, and the family wanted to help her make her feel whole again, and they started designing these fake nipples. So that what began as something just for the family turned into an enterprise to help thousands of women, kind of feel whole again after their surgeries and whatnot. It's a beautiful story and a great local filmmaker, and the filmmaker and a lot of folks from the film will be in attendance that night.
Oh, that's awesome. I think I read that title on the homepage, MKEfilm.org. Yeah. You can go check out everything right now. And I was like, that is
great
quite
title.
The title.
Yeah, it's really good. That's going to draw you in. You're going to be at least curious.
So then overall, there's how many different movies will air between the two weeks?
Yeah, I had to write it down because I'll never remember this. There's 135 feature films, but with all the shorts, there's over 280 films. But out of the 135 features, 148 short films, all of them will screen at least once in the cinema. And you have about 40% that'll be available virtually. Virtually, you can only access if you have the All Access Pass.
Okay.
That's the only way we're able to do it this year. But if you have that pass, you can watch those at home. But really the focus is like the in-person movies. It's bringing back the amount of fun you have coming to the festival and seeing everybody there, and all the excitement is really what it's all about.
Christopher, one of my sisters has been a member for the last couple of years, and she loves the in-person events because you're bringing together movie lovers, and it really is its own community of people. So it's, she just loves it and has raved about it and how interesting people are and friendly. And it's, you know, it's just, it's a great community.
I'm really glad to hear it. Yeah. I mean, our membership program is fantastic. And I think what she might be even talk about is one of the best perks of our membership program is every month we have a film that's just for our members. We invite them in, we pick it out just for them. It's not playing at the theater otherwise. And everyone comes together, you know, over two screenings in one day. And it is like opening night kind of every night, every month, because you get hundreds of people coming in to watch this film. We go up and say hi. And we make a good variety throughout the year from these screenings. So it's like a little taste of the festival all year. And then we come together in April to get the big one out.
That is so fun. And so what else as far as being a membership? So you get obviously there's perks for the festival itself. You do the monthly screenings. And so what else are kind of the perks of becoming a member?
Oh, sure. Well, at the basic level membership, everyone gets invited to the monthly films. You get discounts on essentially everything we do. The Oriental Theater, we run year round. So you get tickets, discounts on tickets, concessions. And then you get early access to the festival tickets. Like right now, members are buying tickets as of yesterday and today. And then tomorrow, the 12th, that's when the rest of the community can buy tickets. So it's nice to have a little early access. So those are the general benefits. But I mean, you also get a lot of communication about other various stuff we're doing throughout the year. And then at different levels, as you go up, you know, there's a t-shirt at the next level, there's some tickets at the next level above that. And then our higher level members, you know, get like passes and things like that.
Christopher, just on the off chance, is there any opportunity to like talk to actual producers and pitch them an idea about an old female radio veteran and her younger counterpart working on a radio station in Waukesha, WAUK?
Yeah, we have a very specific event catered to just that exact premise. It's weird that we haven't even launched it yet. It's weird that you knew about it. Yeah, just check our lineup. You'll find a couple instances of those. Just thought you can sign up.
Perfect.
Yeah, you actually get to, it's great to see all the guests that we have come in. We have a lot of directors and producers and actors who come in, and there's great Q&As afterwards. And sometimes we do have like industry get together mixers and things like that during the fest. So it's a great thing for networking.
Absolutely. And so I when we come back, there's a couple more questions I want to ask, because I definitely am interested in how things have been post-pandemic.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is 3 years. And I think movie going in general has been something that we're realizing, like, people still love going to the movies despite all of the streaming options that are available. But I also want to hear more beyond the nipples. What other movies are coming up? Do you have one specifically that you're excited beyond that one that you're
yeah,
like, I can't wait to see
I
this?
Do. Do you want me to tell you now or after?
Tell us now, and then we'll come back and talk about some of the other ones.
I'm very excited about it. It's called Enter the Dragon, Bruce Lee's 50th anniversary of Enter the Dragon.
Okay.
I have a vested interest in it, so I'll tell you about that after.
On the other side, so it's not a new movie, it's replaying.
That one is one of our classics.
Movie?
We have a handful of classics that we'll show, and we're showing this is like the best martial arts movie of all time. Bruce Lee's an icon, and it's a 50th anniversary, so we're showing that.
I have to admit, I've never seen it.
I will see you there then. This is the best time to see it.
I'm sure my husband would love to go see it, honestly. So you could hold me to that. We're talking to Christopher Pollard, who is the membership manager at Milwaukee Film Festival, which starts April 20th, goes until May 4th. You can start buying your tickets tomorrow, but he will be here on the other side of the break to tell us more about the different films that are going to be there. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are talking to Christopher Pollard, who is the membership manager at Milwaukee Film Festival, which kicks off April 20th. You can buy your tickets starting tomorrow at mkefilm.org. And how have things been since, obviously, we're at the three-year mark since we all got blessed with COVID, right? As a culture and a society. And so how have things been in the years since, as you said, before the pandemic, you guys were at like 80,000 some people coming, which is wild. And so how's it been building back up to that?
Well, it's interesting. It's really interesting looking year round too at the theater, at the Oriental Theater. You know, all theaters got hit right after, during, obviously. And even when we reopened, everyone was very cautious to go back in. We do see that growth, that people are coming back slowly but surely. So it is nice to see people come back. We even recently did some focus groups with our members, and we've done surveys kind of asking them their comfort level. It was interesting to see, and I do get a lot of people emailing say, you know, I'm still not comfortable, or I take care of somebody who's a lot more susceptible. So there's a lot of those individual voices I hear, but I also hear a lot of people saying, no, I'm 100% comfortable coming back. More than anything, I feel like the slowness coming back has to do with people getting used to watching stuff at home. Almost more than the fear of getting COVID at this point, at least early in the days, obviously that was the biggest problem. But now it's just like, I got so used to watching things, it's harder to leave, which is a shame because seeing films in the theater, I mean, I've noticed, I'm a film person, but even before I was like really deeply into it, it was just so such a different, such a special experience when you go and you hear everyone laughing at the same time or gasping. It's just 100% different experience. And so, we have been noticing people coming back. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I would admit that I am the first one to, when I watch something at home, the likelihood that I am simultaneously playing some kind of game on my phone rather than just paying attention to the movie versus that is rude in a movie theater and pay attention.
Exactly. No, I mean, we all do it for sure. And we needed to do it for quite a while. But I always make it's like triage for me. Like, which films do I need to, see this in the theater?
Yeah.
And there's usually one of those a week at least. But yeah, there's some films I seek out because at home because I'm really not very interested in them. And I know full well I'm not going to pay attention, but I'll watch that because I don't care that much.
It's in the background.
Not to ask you to pick favorites, Christopher, because I'm sure that's impossible, but we really are blessed with some. The Oriental Theater is a wonderful gem that we still have. Yeah. And we still have some of those little older movie houses that the festival utilizes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The Oriental, which, by the way, very recently became listed on the national list of historic places. We're incredibly excited about that. But, oh, we're so lucky. We have such a nice footprint here of theaters in Milwaukee. This year, we're using the Time Cinema in Wauwatosa, and we're using the Avalon. And the Avalon, you know, with the beautiful skyscape that they have. And the Times reminds me of like the first cool college theater I went to when I was in Missouri. I got to go to St. Louis to the cool theater. The Times reminds me of that. So we've got some really great theaters here. And the Downer, we're not using the Downer Theater in the festival this year, but that's always a delight to go to as well. That's been around over 90 years.
Oh, wow.
So we've had, we're kind of blessed here. I mean, but in back in the day, Milwaukee had, I want to say hundreds. That's maybe an exaggeration, but we had dozens of movie theaters like in like the 30s and 40s and 50s.
Well, what's wild to me, and then I do want to get to how to navigate the festival, but is, have you been in the new the symphony orchestra that they just, I mean, that was a movie theater. It's so gorgeous of like the detail and the how big it was. And it's like, this is where people watched movies.
Yeah. I know. It's what I mean, people wore hats. Yeah. Let's not forget. If people went when the Oriental Theater first opened, everyone in there hat or a full dress.
Touche. All right. So for a layperson who hasn't been tracking and waiting with bated breath on all the movies that are going to be at the film festival, how do you begin to navigate 135 features, let alone 200 films in general, as far as like how, like what to prioritize, what are you looking for, what would you suggest?
Well, the first thing you do is you go to the website, go to mkefilm.org if you want to go directly /festival guide, but you can find it from our homepage. And we have a few fields where you can break it down by category or by country. And we have some great categories. We have the Black Lens Program, which is directed by Black directors. We've got Citizen Fronteras. We've got Art and Artist. Documentaries are sectioned out, you know, so you've got a lot of different categories where you can kind of refine what you're looking for. I suggest, honestly, just dig in, go through it alphabetically, because you'll find stuff that you wouldn't have thought, that you wouldn't have looked for. I always like to pick stuff that I know I'm going to like. Oh, this is the comedy that I like, you know, that kind of thing. But then I always like, if I go to a festival, pick one that I might not normally pick, because I love it when people are surprised by something that they wouldn't have normally been exposed to.
That is very, very good advice.
But also, as of this Friday, our program book will be out around town. It'll be at all our theaters. It'll be at Associated Banks and Colectivos and a bunch of different places. And you can get our program book as well if you like, if you prefer more physical interaction.
If you want to circle the actual
things. People love to circle. They love to circle. I do too.
All right. Well, Christopher Pollard, thank you so much for spending time with us today. This got me very excited to go buy my tickets. I will see you at Enter the Dragon.
Perfect.
but get your tickets. Definitely support Milwaukee Film Festival. It is such a gem and a treasure to have in our backyard.
Thank you so much. This was great.
All right. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
We'll be back in just a minute to talk about whether or not you are down to sit in line to get your tickets for a concert instead of paying those fees to Ticketmaster. Yes? No? Let us know. 844-967-2789. To go back to buying concert tickets in person. 844-967-2789. We could also just keep listening to Maggie Rogers because she is her music is just very, very listenable. But we play her because that is exactly what she did this week. So Maggie Rogers is a young, I don't even know how to describe her besides she's an incredible voice. She's a great singer. She is kind of like indie rock, I guess. But she posted on her Instagram, on her Twitter, basically, in an effort to eliminate bots and lower fees, I'm going analog. Come buy a ticket like it's 1965. I'll be in person selling tickets at Music Hall of Williamsburg tomorrow for the Forest Hills show. See you there. And then she links to the local box office information. And this is, you know, I think fans are sick and tired of Ticketmaster and the gross amount of fees you have to pay, the fact that bots get in there and suck up all the tickets and then they resell them at such a higher price. The system of buying tickets feels very broken. And I know, I mean, we've heard artist after artist who is equally frustrated that this monopoly exists for you to feel like you have to go through Ticketmaster when you're selling your tickets, and then your fans get screwed.
Pretty much.
And so I wonder if this will start a wave of going old school and going back and sitting in line and knowing, you know, it's worth it because you're not giving your money to Ticketmaster, you're not overpaying, and it's part of the ritual of going to a concert.
I can remember doing that.
Of course, yeah.
You know, and I have to say, Maggie, you don't have to go back to 1965 to be standing in line for tickets because we were doing that in the late 70s.
I mean, people were probably doing that until the 90s. I mean, Ticketmaster and all of this stuff, doing stuff online like this hasn't, I mean, I guess maybe could you buy tickets via phone at some point and not have to necessarily do it in person, but you still had to talk to a representative to buy your tickets and you were probably sitting on hold for a long time?
Yes, because things were not automated at that point. But again, originally, you know, out of your 10 friends who want to go to the show, you decide who's going to go and stand in line for tickets. And it was either at the box office of the venue or... And correct me if I'm wrong, at 844-967-2789, I want to say that Sears had a desk somewhere where you could go buy tickets, concert tickets.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, now almost Sears are gone, but...
Yes, but as far as a central location of some sort where you could go buy tickets. But 844-967-2789, would you be down for this? Would you gladly give up the convenience but yet the headache of buying tickets through Ticketmaster and instead go back and buy them in person. Because people did it. I mean, there was a reporter for Vice wrote about, I went to Maggie Rogers' ticket sale and this is how it went. And so basically it was like a 5-hour line. And so she arrived, I think an hour or two. She decided to check out the New York City presale. And she's a fan, but she's never been to any of Maggie Rogers' concerts due to the exact reason that she lists. It's because every time Maggie Rogers' tickets go on sale, they're gone almost immediately, or the prices are so insane that she's like, I can't do this on a Vice journalist budget.
Right? $500 tickets? No.
No, I mean, I think it's sometimes even $100 in fees. It's not even the ticket price. I've seen screenshots of the final receipt of some of these things where it's $92 in fees.
That's
by the time it's done.
That's crazy.
And it's crazy. And so she said she got to the box office at 9 a.m., which is an hour before ticket sales started, and the line was already wrapped around 3/4 of a block. As someone who waited in many New York City lines, this was not surprising. I knew I was in for a long wait. But as a journalist, she was able to then talk to a number of people waiting in line. And for the most part, felt like waiting in line for concert tickets was much more preferable than going through Ticketmaster. Now, granted, this is like Brooklyn. This is Williamsburg in New York. It's a younger crowd. You know, I think there's a swing back into analog is cool.
Retro.
And like the retro hipster vibe. But like, I've been pretty honest that I'm not a huge, I don't sit in a lot of lines. I also don't go to nearly as many concerts as I probably would enjoy doing if I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things that I just don't track as closely as far as who's coming. Let's go. I'm excited to go hang out at Summerfest and stuff like that, but I am not an avid concert goer. So I would say when I really want to go, it's the convenience of Ticketmaster has been good. But I don't know. There's something kind of cool and special as far as like the effort to get in and actually put your time in to get the ticket. That is, I'm not against more artists. Granted, she was also there.
Well,
so I'm sure that was a draw.
That certainly helps when you're going to have the artist there. But just think about you're hanging around with like-minded people. And, you know, you're all fans of this artist. And I think of some of the conversations I would have waiting in line for the women's bathroom at Summerfest. And you have some great conversations with people that makes the time go faster and also adds to the experience while you're waiting. 844-967-2789. Would you be willing to go back to buying concert tickets in person? Thank you, Tom from West Dallas corrected me. Sears back in the day had Ticketron. So I'm thinking
Ticketron?
Ticketron, yep.
Like Megatron?
Yes, it was Ticketron. And that was probably the early precursor to what we have now.
But I also, thinking about calling for, like if you didn't work waiting in line, but calling for tickets, I have vague memories of booking your airline tickets through a customer service rep because you couldn't just book your airline tickets online.
Right.
And like I'm of that unique age where my early memories are still before you could just do everything online and everything had to have a website. And so certainly you're right as far as it's not 1965. But I don't know. Would you, is there, I mean, we've talked about this before. There's probably, you're at an age now where is there anyone you would wait in line to go see? I feel like we talked about this before and you're like, no.
Well, again, I'm not going to spend $500 for anybody.
Okay.
You know, it's more of a monetary, I'm not doing that. And I just don't think anything is worth that. But yeah, there are people I would like to go see. I am not the target audience for this, though.
I know.
You know?
I have a harder time imagining you camping out.
That would never happen. 844-967-2789. Do you want to go back to the old days of standing in line for tickets. Texter from the 608 checking in. I can remember standing in line at JCPenney's at Northridge Mall for concert tickets in the early 90s. Ticketmaster then allowing scalpers to buy an unlimited number of tickets to resell them at overinflated prices. Ticketmaster is horrible.
Because that's the thing now. It's like scalping used to be illegal, right?
Oh, yeah. And people would literally be standing on the corner as you were going to the show going, psst, buddy, do you need tickets?
And so how is it? It's like, what changed? And this could be an ignorant comment on my part. But so why is it? Why was scalping in person illegal for any kind of event, for a sporting event, for a concert, where if you bought tickets at face value and then you tried to turn around and sell them for a profit in person, that was illegal. But then now it's an entire business model now that it's online.
Because those were individuals making money, and now it's a business model and it's a corporation making money. That's why it's okay.
Is that as simple as it? They're just like, well, you can make a profit because of these like marketplaces exist now. So now it's legal, but you just can't do it
in person.
It's like, here, this is maybe a stretch to make this analogy, but it's like, oh, if it's coming from a pharmaceutical company and we're giving you and prescribing you like super addictive medicine, that's just the healthcare system. But if you're selling heroin on the corner, that's illegal.
Different set of rules. Different rules.
All right. Well, that was a little bit of a digress, but I don't know. I feel like this is, it'll be interesting to see if this is successful. If more people get in line with like more, because I would imagine it has to come from the artist.
Oh, absolutely.
Of choosing, this is how I want my tickets to be sold. And maybe someone who's as big as Taylor Swift could never actually.
How would you accommodate that? Seriously, and I don't even think, you know, some of these venues, would they even have enough staff to, you know, if Fiserv was hosting Taylor Swift and they only sold tickets in person, just the hours it would take to do each individual transaction, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And like I don't even know where the ticket booth is at Fiserv. They have to have one. I'm sure there's a will call.
That's a really good question.
For the amount of times I've been there and just walked, you know, you walk in, you go through the metal detector and you go to your seat. I can't think of where the ticket booth even is there.
There's got to be one somewhere.
Right?
Yeah, I certainly think so.
I know there's one at Panther Arena. I know where that is, but I can't think of where it is at Fiserv. But that is a really good point as far as actually having the people power to process these things instead of having a computer do it.
Right.
Of going back. And I'm just trying to imagine, I think I've told this story before, but granted he's in a little bit of trouble right now, but years ago, the Dalai Lama came to to Berkeley's campus, and the line, people slept overnight.
Wow.
And this was, you couldn't buy tickets online. You had to buy tickets at the box office at UC Berkeley's campus. And I remember specifically, because I wasn't standing in line, but I was tabling for the Vagina Monologues, which I was in, big shock, I know. And we took the opportunity to talk to everyone who was forced in to be in line and tried to sell them on coming to see
your show. Nice. Nicely done.
We're like, I know you're really excited to see the Dalai Lama, but you know, in 2 weeks, you could come back and you could see us talk about vaginas for an hour and a half.
Which would be so worth it. And so Dalai Lama-like.
So
similar.
But I do remember that and being so astounded by people's willingness to sleep over in person and watch, or just to be able to get tickets to see the Dalai Lama speak in person. And that was kind of, I think, the last time I remember. This would have been 2009, 2010.
But don't the Brewers do it? People camp out for when Brewers tickets go on sale, don't they? Individual tickets, and they have their tents, and you know, there's an audience for it, I think. It's going to be more logistical. I can see the logistical issues though.
I do know that people still sleep and camp out to be the first person to buy something. like the new iPhone or the new piece of gadgetry of some sort, or like the new shoes. And right. So I know when it comes to like purchasing something that's going to be limit, like have a limited supply, there's plenty of people who are still willing to do that. So like, I think the desire is there. It's more of, or like the willingness to do it is there for a lot of people. And I also think it's kind of like, I kind of like it because right now it's not who was willing to spend the most money. It's like there's also value in your time of like who's right. willing to sacrifice the most amount of time to go see this person, which I don't know. There's something there. But all right. Well, when we come back, we will wrap up today's show. I'll tell you if you've been wondering since I dropped the little Easter egg earlier, what is Wisconsin's favorite Easter egg Easter candy compared to other states? I'll let you know what that is on the other side of the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, and she is Jane Matinair. And we are wrapping up today's show. Before, we were talking about, would you like to go back to the days of standing in line for your concert tickets if it meant you didn't have to go through Ticketmaster anymore and pay those exorbitant fees?
Ridiculous
or just
fees.
In general have to pay Ticketmaster. And so you said we had a text.
844-967-2789. You can call and or text from the 608. You were talking, Kristen, about finding the box office at Fiserv Forum. There is a box office at Fiserv. I had to go there when the Ticketmaster app did not allow me to access my digital tickets, and they printed off paper tickets right there for me. So when you're looking at the entrance doors to Fiserv, the box office is located in the far right set of doors.
Far right set of doors. Okay. So, I will keep an eye out for it the next time I am in the Deer District. I'm like, all right, there it is.
Now you know where to look for it.
When I need to find it. Right. I'm curious how many people were working in the box office when they had to go get that ticket printed. My guess is two.
Yeah, probably.
My guess is two. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you had to guess... I guess if you had to guess what the most popular amongst the most amount of states Easter candy is, what would you guess?
Countrywide.
So this is based off top-selling Easter candies by state that was bought via Instacart. So it's probably not the most accurate as far as when you're thinking about all the different ways people
sure.
buy. But as far as Instacart and having that data... There's one, and it's not our most popular, but in majority of states looking at this map, this color-coded map, there is this candy that is the most popular.
Isn't it jelly beans?
No.
Not going the classic route.
Not going the classic route. Going the delicious route.
Cadbury eggs?
That is, Cadbury cream eggs are only the most popular in Arkansas and Alabama.
Okay. It's not Peeps.
No.
Good. Because those are only good for science experiments. Don't eat them. Malted milk balls.
That's not an Easter candy.
If they're egg-shaped, they are.
Have you seen egg-shaped malted malt balls?
Yes, I just killed a bag last week.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that they came in egg-shaped. I just thought they were a little...
No. You can get... And they're pastel-colored. So it's official. Oh. Yeah, so it's officially Easter.
All right, do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
So the most popular... This is not in Wisconsin, but most popular in most states is Reese's Peanut Butter Eggs.
Oh.
They are very good. Those things are addicting. They're very good.
And I suppose... I mean, in the grand scheme of things, this is not new, but it's a newer, at least for me, a newer Easter treat.
I would say that. But the thing that's funny is then, so ours is Kinder chocolate candy egg with a surprise toy inside.
That's a lie.
I don't know. That's via Instacart. And we share that being the with Kentucky. So Wisconsin and Kentucky, the most popular Easter candy was the Kinder chocolate candy egg with a surprise toy inside. Jelly beans were the most popular in Michigan, Illinois, Missouri, Indiana, and Ohio. And then in a handful of states, so in Florida, Mississippi, West Virginia, Nebraska, and South Dakota, it's just Hershey's milk chocolate, which doesn't feel like Easter candy. It's just
it's a chocolate bar.
And the same thing with North Dakota. Oh, and this is Nebraska. The other one was Kansas, Iowa, Pennsylvania. It's Reese's peanut butter cups, which also doesn't feel specific to Easter at all. So, oh, actually the Kinder chocolate candy egg, also a big hit in Hawaii.
That's complete BS. I don't buy that for a second. I have never heard of that candy. 844-967-2789. We are all across the state. I want to know what is the name of this thing?
It's a Kinder chocolate candy egg with a surprise toy inside. So the packaging is basically, it's an egg, and then it's like red and white. I've seen these. I don't think I've ever had one, but I'm looking at it right now, and I feel like I've definitely seen these at the store.
I think the Kinder chocolate people are behind this bogus survey. Let me know if you've ever, I've never
they
heard of this candy.
Three states. If they were really, this is like when the Republicans are like, oh, they cheated in 2020. It's like, well, why did the rest of you win then? If we just rigged the Trump one. If we were going to, you know, we wouldn't rig all of them to get power and everything, but that's the only one we really needed to get rid of. But you guys are fine.
They're,
like, what?
They're trying to take over slowly. They just don't want it to be an obvious takeover.
That's really cynical of you, but I'm going to buy you one. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to bring you a Kinder Joy chocolate egg
with
a little toy inside.
Fabulous.
It's like a Happy Meal.
Made out of sugar.
Yes. Well, no, the toy itself is like actually a little plastic toy you can play with. And
nice.
I'm sure at some point parents step on and curse. Curse their name.
Most likely.
That's actually funny. I was watching some TikTok account where it's like guys just doing stupid things. And like, that's what the account does is just guys doing things. And it's sometimes funny. And there was basically a lineup of like 5 boxes, 4 boxes, 3 boxes, 2 boxes. And I think that was it. And in one of the boxes in each row, it was all Legos.
Okay.
And so 5 people in the first round jumped through the box and 4 out of the 5 were fine, landed flat on their feet. But one person for each round, not knowing which one they were going to be, would just jump through and just land on Legos. And you just see them like collapse to the floor in so much pain. I was like, this is kind of entertaining, but this is why boys are the weaker sex. Like, then why are you choosing? Why are you opting in to do this?
I'm going to jump from the roof into the pool. Watch this.
Oh. All right. Well, coming up tomorrow, Mr. Greg Bach will be here as he always is on Wednesday. We are going to have an update from the Waukesha School about Waukesha School Board District. From 2 different parents, to one you've heard before, Sarah Harrison, but also Dave Dringenberg will be here. And then the guy who runs the Wisconsin Dive Bar's Instagram account is also going to be here. And we're going to see how good he is at recognizing the difference between a dive bar and a hipster bar. Because sometimes it's hard to tell, but one's a little bit more authentic than the other in my calculation. But come back tomorrow at 11 a.m. when we will do this all again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.